about the 14th chapter. And Romans. I'm going to look at Romans, the 8th chapter. When you read in Isaiah, in the 28th chapter on tongues, and we always, since the time that I came into the Pentecostal church in 1982, came in Church of God in Christ, they've always talked about speaking in tongues, which wasn't the first time I heard about, the first time I heard of speaking in tongues. There was a lady when I was growing up, and she, and even in the church we're in, she would visit our church from time to time, and she would from time to time speak in tongues. And I remember my mother and my great aunt discussing whether or not tongues, what were tongues about, and what they were for. And I remember my aunt Joanna saying, some people were saying that you weren't supposed to do it. And I remember my mother saying, well, no, it seems all right. You know, it's this and that and the other. And they really didn't know a lot about it. This is one of the reasons why I don't worry about people who, and you can broadcast as far as you want. I don't worry about people saying that nobody's saved unless they speak in tongues. Because the life my mother lived, she could not have lived without the Holy Ghost, and she did not speak in tongues. So I've gone round and round with all that about, you know, if you're saved, you got to speak in tongues. You're not saved until you speak in tongues. The apostolics talked about that a lot. When I first came into the Church of Living God, one of the biggest distinctions that was made between us, you know, from Ron Davis and from Bishop White when he first came, because we had lessons a long time ago when we were having Christian education lessons all the time, and I still have them. They talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and all those. I haven't forgotten those. And we say something differently now than what we said then, and I can prove it. It's written back in black and white, so I don't worry about anybody trying to say, no, they don't. Yes, we do. But I know that people, if when you live like my mother lived and read her Bible and prayed every day, and I mean, she wasn't one of these cussing, reading, Bible reading, you know, everyday mean spirited. I mean, she was a person apart, even among her sisters and brothers. She lived the life. God was her life. She didn't have much else but God.
Yeah.
So her life was a life in God. And if one person I know is in heaven, and that is her. So when we preach about speaking in tongues, I think everybody should speak in tongues. I think you should be glad you speak in tongues if you do. For me, it is a confirmation that the Holy Ghost dwells in us. It was given on the day of Pentecost, and it's a confirmation that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. It's the outpouring of the Spirit, and more specifically, it's an outpouring of the Spirit on Gentile believers, because the Jewish believers always had God anyway.
Yeah.
They've always had the Holy Spirit. They've always had the prophecies. They've always had the prophets. They've always known of God. They had God's law and God's commandments and God's ordinances, which Paul makes very clear that everybody understands that they were holy and because God gave them and they were right. In them was the promise of the Messiah, the Christ who would come, and in their lineage, Jesus did come. And they were the one people in the earth who always knew the true God. They saw God on occasion. On many occasions, many of them saw God. At least one or two of them went to heaven. Two of them, to be exact, went to heaven in their mortal bodies, and were taken up, and were seen going up, and so forth and so on. So they had many signs and wonders that caused them to believe in the true God, including going up, on top of Mount Horeb with Moses and receiving the law and all those things. But the Gentile believers could only be saved if they became proselytes and believed what the Jews believed. And in the latter days, and you've always had Gentile believers who became Jewish proselytes. And Ruth was one. Mm-hmm. Rahab was another. And both of them in the lineage of Jesus. So, you know, I don't know how people get around to preaching in these day and times, much less. And then I know when God gave the law, he talked about Israel not marrying outside of Israel. But that was because all the people around them were idolaters and they were enemies. And his concern was... which spoke to the weak will of Israel. His concern was, when you marry all these women like Solomon did, they'll draw you out of God.
Yeah.
It wasn't that there was anything wrong with them, you know, with all the signs and wonders, with all the things that Israel saw, Israel was still, as he said, such a stubborn will, such a still, stiff will, a self-willed people. And I would take this time to put in an infomercial and say to you today, if you are one of these people who are so self-willed, no one can say anything to you, you can't be, you won't even consider that things concerning you are not right.
Right. Yeah.
This is what Israel was like. Mm-hmm. And God would send prophets. They would have signs and wonders. I mean, miracles would be done greater than a lot of us have seen.
Yeah.
And still Israel would run after money. They'd run after women. It was like they were always, it's like they stayed teenagers forever. And everything that came their way drew them out,
yeah.
And drew them away. Only a very few of them could ever make it. Your Jeremiah's, your Micah's, Isaiah, Daniel, but by and large, and one of the biggest problems that they talked about, and as we talk about Isaiah, one of the biggest problems they had during Isaiah was it wasn't just that the people were backslidden. As you read Isaiah tonight, let me see if I have anybody tonight who's not a normal Bible study person. So, I have all Bible study people. So, people who've been in church for a long time. I see Crystal. Hi, Crystal. How are you? I see she's here. She's been here all her life. If you haven't, and then she's been here all her life, she hasn't read a Bible in that amount of time, and that's her problem. we have a, all when you read Isaiah and Jeremiah, and you should.
Yeah.
It is very difficult, especially if you're a preacher, if you don't read your Bible, and the only thing you read is just what you get in the Christian Education
yeah.
Online. You got to go deeper than that if you're a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
But all this time, when you read Isaiah and you read, and especially Ezekiel, the problem they none of the prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, none of them, Jeremiah, they do pronounce doom and gloom and woes to Assyria and woes to Moab and woes to all these, but they do that in the relevance or the context of saying because how you caused Israel to fall.
Oh, yeah.
And the people that they're really drawing on and they're really preaching to is Israel, and the reason why they talk to all these different nations and saying God's going to destroy you, Babylon, and God, they're talking to them and they're telling Israel, stop trusting in Babylon, God's going to destroy them. Stop trusting in Moab, God's going to get rid of them. Stop trusting in Assyria, God's going to get rid of them. Just like we tell people today, stop trusting in the world, it's not going to save you. Stop believing all this. Stop calling the psychic hotline. Stop running out to everything that comes your way. It's not going to deliver you. It's not going to keep you. Don't let yourself become that. And we're talking to the same kind of people today. We're talking to people who don't believe the fire will burn.
Yeah.
not going to hurt me. I can handle it. I can handle it. I can handle it. I can handle it. Well, okay. So during the time of Israel and all this time, if anybody wanted to be saved and serve the true God, the only way that they could serve the true God was like Israel was serving the true God. And that was with offerings and sacrifices that were required by Israel, because until Christ would come and fulfill the law, these sacrifices and offerings were required because they caused the people to have faith. And they reminded the people of the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these sacrifices and offerings weren't just silently given. In the tabernacle, in the services, the word of God was always preached and kept. Who do you think the prophets were talking to? You think it was just sealed in the envelope and they opened it up for us? No, they were speaking to the people at that time. And the priest and all of them were supposed to preach and teach and do like we're doing. And the prophets would prophesy and say, hear the word of the Lord. And and God was equal, because God would say to them, I will bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you if you obey. I won't let these things happen to you. I'll keep this, I'll do this. And God was true to his word forever. And by the same token, he would say to them, and if you don't obey and you go out among all these tribes, these things will happen to you.
Yeah.
It was true then, it's true now. So the only way that Ruth could be saved was to have the God of her mother-in-law, Naomi, and finally her husband, Boaz. And the only way that Rahab could be saved was that she believed Israel when they came and During the battle, you know, it's when Jericho fell, and then she marries somebody who's can't keep the name right now, but and she becomes someone in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And it goes on like that. So until Jesus comes, everybody who's going to be saved has to be a Jewish proselyte. Then when Jesus comes and becomes the ultimate sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for sin, he's the light to the Gentiles that was talked about all the way back in Genesis in the garden. And he's the light to the Gentiles that is talked about by John the Baptist. He's the light to the Gentiles, and he's the one through whom shall come in Abraham's lineage that all nations of the earth shall be blessed. All nations of the world shall be blessed. Now, all nations could have been blessed if they would have become Jewish before that, but become proselytes, but that wasn't going to happen because all of them went into their idolatry. Then when Jesus comes and fulfills the law, he becomes all that the people would not live as holy as they need to live, or as a in order to keep them together as a group of people, a race of people, a people of God. God gave them the law to keep them because they didn't have enough of the Spirit, most of them, to keep them otherwise. So he had to tell them, don't kill one another. And he had to tell them, don't steal from one another. And he had to tell them, don't take the man's wife and so forth and so on. Don't take the woman's husband and he had to give them all these laws. And then for the sake of not only being recognized among the heathens as being different, but also for the sake of good health, he also gave them strict dietary laws, which did two things. One, it separated them from the other nations because the other nations would eat anything. And two, it kept them healthy and well, even though God would heal them. It's like saying for us, the Lord will heal you, but that's not a reason to go out and do something stupid and get sick on purpose. Just because you know that God will heal you. And so it kept them. So Israel, during all this time, until the time of Jesus Christ, was under this law. And this is why it was so significant, and this is why Paul and all of them preached so hard. After Christ had come, he had fulfilled the law. And so when the saints in Galatia went back to Judaism, went under Judaism, they were saying that the cross and Christ's resurrection was not enough for them to live saved, that they also had to add on to that, being circumcised and all the dietary laws and all these things. And Paul was explaining to them, no, those things were necessary before Christ came because the law kept them and defined sin, as he says in Romans, and told them how to live godly without having as much of the Holy Ghost as they should have. Although there were many of them that did have the Holy Ghost and followed the Spirit well, because otherwise David would have been stoned. There's no way in the world. There was no reason for him, if he had not had the Holy Ghost, there was no reason for him to write Psalm 51, because by the law he should have been stoned. It's just that's on multiple occasions. One of them for taking a man's wife, and the other one for having a man killed. So, you know, when Jesus comes, he stands in John the 37th chapter, or the 7th chapter, in verse 37, whatever. He says, if any man thirst, let him come after me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Ghost that was not yet given, because he had not yet been glorified. He's saying at this point, if any man anywhere... Any man anywhere, any person, man meaning not just males, but any human anywhere, would be saved, desire salvation, would have God, come after me and drink. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He was referring to the Holy Ghost and being poured out. Some women say he was only referring to gifts. And what did you call the prophecies of all the prophets who had gifts long before Jesus came? And they had the gift of healing and of miracles and of prophecy. The only gift that they didn't have was tongues. And that's because tongues had a special significance. Then on the day of Pentecost, as they are waiting for the Holy Spirit to be poured out, someone would say in the day of Pentecost, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they all spoke in tongues. All gifts, and there were others who had already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost long before that, because they had miracles. Even the disciples themselves went out healing and casting out devils and doing all those things. Obviously, they had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've always known that tongues are for refreshing and tongues are for renewing. And although I've been speaking in tongues for a very long time, love to pray in tongues, because when I run out of words then I start to speak in tongues. And I don't worry about speaking in tongues. People say, well, you're just speaking in tongues out of your soul. I've never done that because, one, I'm not able to do it. I just can't make it work. They either come and I start speaking in tongues or they don't.
Yeah.
But I have heard people who keep just saying na 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 na, and I wonder about that. But that's their tongue, so
fine. We know.
You know, go ahead. Whatever you got. Because I also know that when you listen to some languages, I was telling you last week, when I listen to a lot of the Asian languages, I really can't distinguish sounds and words in a lot of their languages and some of the Slavic languages as well. Although I can't understand what people are saying when they speak Spanish and French and a lot of things, I can distinguish between sounds, because they're all dramatic or romance languages, and we can't understand that. So I'm not knocking anybody's tongues. In any way that you speak in tongues, God bless you, and I pray that it refreshes and renews you. But in Isaiah, the 28th chapter, when he's talking about tongues, I know why, because I'm an inquisitive person, there's two things about being inquisitive that are kind of nice. One of them is you always wonder why something does what it does. The other one is you're open to somebody explaining it to you.
Yeah.
People who don't care. Why does that work? I don't care how it works. I just know it works. You also don't really care if anybody try to explain anything to you.
Yeah.
You're satisfied. But I always want to know, you know, when Isaiah says in O verse number 12, Isaiah 28 and 12, he says, to whom, he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now, if you also look at the same time in Romans, the big controversial one that we like to make the controversy about, a walk up. In Romans 10, you see in Romans 10 and 18, when he says, but they have not heard, yes, verily the sound went out into all the earth, 10 and 18, and to the ends of the earth, but I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy with people who are no people, and by foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not, and I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he say, all day long I stretch forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Up in verse number 16, when he talks about this, in 14 he says, how shall I hear without a preacher? And in 16 he says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? And that's in Isaiah 53, where he says, who hath believed our report? And if you look at Isaiah 53, you also see in the very first verse, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? By the time you get to verse 28 in Isaiah, and he starts talking about with stammering lips, he says down here, O 11, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. And probably a lot of people have just said, okay, with stammering lips and another tongue shall he speak to his people. And if we ask you about tongues right now, you know what you'll tell me? You'll say, it's a rest for the weary, and it's a renewing for the weary. It's a refreshing for the weary.
Mm-hmm.
But what are tongues? It's a rest for the weary, it's refreshing for the weary. It is a rest for the weary. It is a refreshing. Why is it a rest and a refreshing? Because when Isaiah talks about tongues, and he says in later days it's going to be poured out, for all flesh. He's talking to a people that he's been preaching. What is he talking about in Isaiah 7 and 14? Let's see what he's talking about in 7 and 14. In 7 and 14, he's talking about, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. This is what he's been preaching to Ahaz and to everybody. And this is what all the prophets are saying. And this is what they're doing. And they keep saying over and over again, God is going to send a Savior. And the reason why he says during all these books and chapters up to this, you don't need Assyria, and you don't need Moab, and you don't need Babylon, because God is going to send a Savior. And he keeps saying, God is going to send a Savior. And you know what they say to him? You act like we babies. Like, the only thing you can tell us is God's going to send a Savior. He's telling you, behold, a virgin is going to conceive and bear seed. You don't want to know anything else about that.
Yes.
And he's telling you that God's going to bring you out, and he's going to send someone who's going to defeat Satan and sin and the devil. You don't want to hear about that?
No.
He's telling you that everybody in the earth is going to be saved by this person who's going to come. You don't want to hear about that?
No.
He's telling you that your sacrifices and offerings represent this person who's going to come and deliver. You don't want to hear about that? Instead, you're saying, this is all you talk about? Salvation, this is all you know to say? Like we're children, and all we get is line upon line, precept upon precept. You just keep saying, we need to obey the Lord because the Savior is coming. And you keep saying that in our lineage, we need to keep ourselves holy. We need to live sanctified because we serve the true God. You keep telling us to come out from among the heathens. You keep telling us to stop running to the heathens because we serve the true God. You keep telling us about this God of Moses, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is all you have to say? Hey, we want to be like the people in Moab. Don't you have anything modern? Don't you have something else you can say to us? Isn't there something else you can tell us? What's wrong with you? And then they go again. And then he says, and the reason why you can no longer get revelation and no longer hear the Spirit, he says, because now you've gone and drinking a whole lot of wine. You stay drunk all the time. You're doing just like the rest of the world. You're doing everything they do. You're out there. He says it used to be the people were drunk. Now all the priests are drinking.
Right.
And the priests can't get a word. He says the reason why you don't like the prophecy is because it's contrary to what you're doing. He says the reason why you can't hear a prophecy is because you're always drunk. He says you're air and wine. You spend much time in the world. He says you're loving the things of the idols and the idolaters. You need to read Isaiah up to 28, not just start in 28 talking about stammering lips.
Yeah.
He says, so the Lord is saying, all right. Since you don't want to hear the word of God, remember who hath believed the report that he starts in Isaiah 53 with? Mm-hmm. Remember, they have not believed the report because they have not obeyed, as Paul is saying in Romans. Yes. They keep saying the same thing over and over again. He says to them, he says, since you won't listen when the prophets prophesy, since you're saying that you're too prone for that and that there's too much and you don't want to hear that, he says, that's all right. God's going to change. And with stammering lips and with other tongues, he says, at a time is going to come. Because they weren't going to speak in tongues then. There's going to be a time when the people of the world are going to hear about Christ. And since you won't be the ones who preach it, he says the Spirit's going to move and give the people who will preach it other tongues.
Yeah.
There are two types. There are tongues comes in two categories. One of them is, and if you know the definition of tongues is a supernatural ability given by the Spirit of God to speak in a language that you otherwise do not speak. This is what you hear on the day of Pentecost when all the apostles and the people who are on Solomon's porch, when the Holy Ghost falls and they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the first thing they do is they start to speak in other languages to all these people who are in and around Jerusalem. What do you think they're preaching? What Peter preaches when he gets up. He says, this is what was foretold by Joel. And he says that in these days I will pour out my spirit to all flesh. Well, pouring out his spirit to all flesh means I have to speak to people who speak things other than Hebrew. Who speak things other than Aramaic. Who speak things other than whatever, you know. Italian, that there was, you know, at that time. And they were speaking all these languages to all these people that in the Bible you otherwise don't even hear about. What were they speaking? It was this glad tidings. It was this gospel of God's Son. They were telling, because now Peter comes up, and if you look in Acts, so then he starts to speak in Acts in their language. And what does he do when he starts to speak in their language? When he's preaching to them, he tells them Joel has poured out all this to all flesh. And then what does he do? He starts speaking and he starts preaching and he starts preaching all about right after he talks about Joel, verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth approved by God. He's right back to preaching what Isaiah was preaching 800 years ago. He's right back to preaching what John the Baptist said in the wilderness. This is what they, you say, well, they were speaking in other languages. What they speak, the gospel.
Yeah.
What was the Spirit given? Why would the Spirit give us tongues and not type to speak in other languages? What would he have us say?
Yeah.
The gospel.
Yes.
The glad tidings of the good news. It would be the gospel. And his point was, if the people Isaiah was saying during that time, if you won't go forth and preach the gospel like you're supposed to, he says God is going to do this great sign. He says he will speak through the Spirit to others in other tongues. And then the second form of tongues is our heavenly language. This is what's referred to in Romans, the 8th chapter, when it says we speak in with utterance with things that, is it, what does it say? In Romans chapter 8, we know it. Likewise, the Spirit helps with our infirmities. This is when we're praying and we can't get everything done, said, can't come up with the words. For we know not what we pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself making intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it says, when we pray in tongues, 14th chapter, we speak to God. And we speak mysteries. In other words, it's not clear to us what we're saying. But most of us, when we pray in tongues, we don't know the literal interpretation of the words, but we know what we're praying about. We know what our desire is. We know where we are, and we're speaking to God, and we're speaking in our heavenly language. This is why Paul, in the 14th chapter, also tells them about prophecy, and he puts the point of, because when we're prophesying, we're speaking in the language of everybody who's here. And it edifies everybody who's here. He said that we shouldn't speak in tongues publicly unless someone can interpret them. Because interpretation of tongues plus tongues equals prophecy. And here again, what are you giving? The word of
God.
Thank you.
Yes.
The word of God. This is why in Isaiah 58 chapter, when he says this, in Isaiah chapter 58, I mean chapter 28, when he says, to whom he said, 28 and 12. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause weary to rest, and this is refreshing, yet they would not hear. All right. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause weary to rest, and the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Isaiah is talking to the people in those times that are not speaking in tongues. They don't have tongues yet. What is this rest and this refreshing that he's talking about? It is the gospel.
Yes.
It is the gospel.
Yes.
He's telling them, he's saying this to people. He's saying to them, God is going to speak with stammering lips, as we say, because it's unintelligible to us.
Yes.
And with other tongues, because other languages, we might speak supernaturally another language, whatever. He says you're giving the same message. It isn't me speaking in tongues. It isn't the physical me speaking in tongues that is the rest and the refreshing. It's what I'm saying.
Yes.
It isn't just the exercise of the physical opening my mouth and speaking in tongues that's refreshing me. This is why it doesn't work unless you're in the Spirit. You can make sounds all day long unless you're in the Spirit. You won't be refreshed and you won't be renewed. The rest comes when I have something really weighing on me.
Yes.
And I come in and I speak in tongues. It isn't the exercise of speaking in tongues that is the rest. It's what I'm saying to God. It's my knowing that the Spirit has interceded and spoken to God the very intents of my heart. And the refreshing comes because the Spirit also speaks back to me and says, God has heard you. You have prayed a prayer today that God has received. You're going to be all right. This is what I'm receiving in the Spirit intuitively when I am speaking in tongues and I'm speaking in my heavenly language. And the rest comes because I have this burden. And the refreshing comes because when I speak in tongues, this burden is lifted. Because I'm speaking to God. I'm speaking the words to God that He will hear. It is the words that I'm speaking that is the refreshing and the rest that is coming. And so Isaiah says, when he says this to them, he's telling them to whom this is the rest wherewith he will cause you to rest and the refreshing that you would not hear. He's telling them, you should have rested when I told you the virgin was going to have a child.
Yes, yeah.
And you should have been refreshed when I told you God's going to send His Son. It shouldn't have been something that you should have scoffed at and said, he just keeps saying the same thing over and over again. He says, no, we keep saying to you, Jesus is coming. He didn't use the word Jesus because they didn't know his name. But he says, we keep saying to you, the Christ is coming. We keep saying to you, God is going to deliver you. We keep saying, if you'll come to God, he will lift you up. God will see you through. We keep saying to you, you're going to be all right. We keep saying to you, you're God's people. And when you're going through, this should refresh you. And to know that you're going to be all right should make the weary rest.
Yes, it does.
That's what he was saying.
Yes.
He says, this tidings. That's why he goes on in Isaiah 53 and says to them, who hath believed the report? As he says in Isaiah 53, whom hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He says, who hath believed the gospel we've been preaching all this time? And we keep telling you, rehearsing all the way back to, and they do it both times. Soon as Peter gets up to preach, he starts with Jesus of Nazareth and goes back through and preaches the same gospel. Soon as Stephen gets up to preach, he goes all the way back to Abraham and preaches the same gospel all the way through. And someone would say, I'm tired of hearing that. Don't you have nothing new? My goodness gracious. Every time I pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm reminded when I'm praying for the sick, all the things that God has done during all this time. And when things really get bad, I'm reminded that Jesus is the Son of God and that He's soon to return.
Yes.
And someone says, well, what if He doesn't come back while you're living? Then I'll see Him when I die.
Yes, that's right.
I know one way or the other, I'm going to be all right. When I'm praying for people to be healed, it's because my mind keeps going back to all the people who are healed during the course of the Word of God. And the Spirit comes in and says, they'll be all right. And pray for them, they're going to be lifted up. And if you aren't flowing in the Spirit when you're doing this, then you're just praying into the air anyway.
Yes.
This is why tongues are so significant. And this is what Isaiah was saying to him. This is what he was saying to them in 28th chapter. To whom he said, in other words, he's telling them, he says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. To whom he said, this is to the same people that he told, this is the rest. He's referring to the gospel.
Yes.
That ye may cause to rest, and this is a refreshing, but you would not hear. He's saying, since you won't let me preach it to you and teach it to you, you won't hear me. Then God's going to do something else. He's going to let it go forth in stammering lips. In other words, with words that cannot be uttered, cannot be understood. So that the people who are doing it will, you know, even to this day, when people speak in tongues, folk look at them, they're afraid. Some of them are afraid. Some of them are, say, what are they doing? Other people, I've heard theologians say, oh, it's just muttering and just gibberish. It's just whatever, whatever. And that's Isaiah's point. Since you won't listen to us when we preach to you like normal people, God says, I'm going to do something special.
Yeah.
I'm going to do something in the Spirit that you cannot deny. And the people who do it are going to know they're talking to God because they're going to utter the word. They're going to utter the same words of God that are for the refreshing and that are for the renewing and they give the rest. And they may not know specifically what words they're using, but when they get up from prayer, they're going to know they were talking to God.
Yeah, yes.
When they are crying out and tears are streaming and they come with a heavy burden, they may not even know how to describe the burden. But when they speak in tongues, since the Holy Ghost knows, and since the Holy Ghost can go before God because he intercedes, he knows their heart, he can say, they're really, really trying to get to you on this, and you'll touch the hem of his garment every time. Isaiah is saying, this is the rest that you should rest, Israel. He's telling him 800 years before Christ comes. He's saying, this should be a rest to you. When I tell you that, behold, a virgin is going to conceive and bear a son, when I tell Ahaz that Christ is going to come, when I reaffirm that God's son is going to come and deliver, this should give you a rest. This should make you feel all right. You should be fine when you hear this. When we remind you of the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, when we remind you of how he brought you out of Egypt, when we tell you about this, you should be moving on and say, hey, look, I heard, I've been hearing that forever. You know, I've been hearing that forever. And this is the state that the children of Israel had come to, because they wanted to be a part of the Moabites, and they wanted to be a part of the Assyrians, and these people lived all around them. And true enough, they traded with them and did everything else. And naturally, commerce was commerce, but they allowed themselves to start to worship their gods. You work with people every day who may not be saved, but you can't become, you can't stop being saved because they're not. You can't let them sit down. I know a couple of people now who I knew at one point in time. There's no doubt in my mind, you're never going to convince me. I know at least two people that you're never going to convince me that they didn't have the Holy Ghost at one time. And now they said they don't longer believe in God. I wonder where they got that from. Someone sat down and told them. I told you there's a preacher on YouTube or in the internet someplace. Don't look him up because I'm afraid he'll convince you. But he preaches all day long on how everything about Christ is untrue. How Paul wrote this book, but there's nothing, but it's just fiction, and all the books that he wrote are just fiction, and there's nothing true about any of them. And he reads the Bible while he's doing it and explains to people how this couldn't have happened and this is not true. And that's his ministry. He's black. And if you first tune in and say, well, how, why are you listening to him? Because when you first tune into him, he's reading the Bible. And he goes on to proceed. So there's no less true than the only way I can figure you out is you just don't have God at all. Somehow or another, the two people in life that I know, and I'm praying that this is not their final state. I'm praying that they will be restored because they have time. If they're breathing, they have time. But this gospel has to keep it, has to be preached. And it is the same good news as it is then. And this is why in Romans, when Paul talks about this, he says, how can they hear and how can they believe unless there be a preacher? And how can he preach unless he be sent? And then he says, but they have not all obeyed. They haven't received the gospel when we're preaching and teaching. We don't have time to go out and preach. You know, the gospel in every aspect of it is designed with the idea of turning men and women, as Paul says in Acts later on, from Satan and sin unto God. And from darkness to light, so they'll have forgiveness of their sins, and so they'll have eternal life. If we're doing it for any other reason other than that, you're not in the will of God. This is why Christ came. Christ came to do the Father's will. So when Isaiah, in Isaiah 53, when you read Isaiah, when you read Isaiah 51, and he tells you how they're going to treat Christ, and Isaiah 52, when you read in Isaiah 55, when he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, he's crying out to a people who won't listen. And he's saying there's going to come a time when people really are going to listen. He says, I'm going to get their attention. And I'm going to, and he says, and when they speak in tongues, whether it be stammering lips or whether it be tongues, and it's your heavenly language, which is absolutely true, and if you don't speak in tongues, you need to ask God. To give you more of the Holy Ghost, and or whether it be, and I have yet to ever see, I've never been in a setting where tongues were spoken, where a person who did not speak a language spoke in somebody else's language. I remember a long time ago, we were in full gospel, not new full gospel, full gospel fellowship. Ron Davis was there, and one night this man came in from Turkey, because in Germany, they have a lot of Turkish people who are immigrants, and a lot of them are what we would say, they're homeless people. I don't want to use the word vagabond. We don't use that word anymore. You know, although the Bible does. But this guy came in, and I knew when he came in that he was looking for a handout because I've seen him before. And I think Ron was praying and speaking in tongues, and it was a Tuesday night or whatever, and we were having prayer. And we were down praying. Don't get confused. When we're all down praying in prayer on Tuesday night, it's all right to speak in tongues. That's not a public, that's not like in a service where we're up worshiping. If you're going to speak in tongues in a service, then it needs to be interpreted. And if nobody interprets it, you need to stop speaking.
Speaking, yes.
Because only are the people edified or built up if it can be interpreted. Because it has to be the word of God. And we have to understand the word of God that you're saying in order for us to be edified.
Right. Yes.
And this is why Paul, if you read the 14th chapter of Corinthians, talks about it in service. But anyway, we got from prayer. This person comes down and he wants to say something to the people. I already see it now. I've been around long enough. I know he's probably drinking and everything. Because people don't change. The same people who beg now have always been professional beggar. And the first thing he says was that when Ron was speaking in tongues, he was speaking his language. I said, okay, let's see where this goes. He said he was from Turkey, and he said that he lived not too far from it. He lived in Ephesus, which is actually, it's not called Ephesus, it was right outside of Smyrna, which is actually, can't call it, big city on the western coast of Turkey. And he said he didn't live too. He lived down the street, not too far from where Mary's house was. I said, okay. I said, well, how do you know he wasn't speaking his language, Bishop Smith? Because if you got up and told me that I was speaking your language, in tongues, you would tell me what I said.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of speaking it. It's for you to get what I said.
Yeah.
And besides all that, why would I need this? Why would the Spirit have me speak your language if you speak English? The Holy Ghost doesn't waste any movement.
Yes.
How would we be able to distinguish that you understood what was being said unless you told us what he was saying?
Yes.
So, I have yet to be in the service. I didn't say it didn't happen. So don't go out there. This is what it never happened. It happened on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
I've never been in a service where someone spoke in tongues in the service and was actually speaking someone else's foreign language.
Right, yeah.
To my knowledge, it's never happened when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm almost sure that if someone spoke in tongues, they were speaking someone else's language. Not only would that person know it, but probably somebody else, and this is why you judge tongues and judge prophecy, someone would know that's that language or whatever. And if not, that somehow or another, God would make it known to you like he does in Acts. You are actually speaking someone else's language.
Yeah.
But that being said, that doesn't lessen my belief in it. As a matter of fact, I want to speak in tongues and be able to do that. I want to just speak in tongues well enough. I would love to just be able to speak English so that people understood me when I talk. But tonight I'm about finished. I'm going to pray. Read Isaiah 28th chapter and read Isaiah up to there and find out what's going on and why he's saying what he's saying and read 1 Corinthians the 14th chapter concerning speaking in tongues and look at Paul in Romans chapter 10 when he talks about the same thing Isaiah said, who hath believed the report, in Isaiah 53, and put it all together, and then you start to realize that when God tells Isaiah the tongues are for a rest for the weary and for refreshing. Not just the physical act of speaking in tongues, not just the doing it. It's what tongues that are given by the Holy Spirit does.
Yes.
And if you're speaking by, if you're not speaking by the Holy Spirit, then no, you're not getting anything out of it. You're just mimicking everybody else, so the people will stop, will get off your back about speaking in tongues. But if you're speaking by the Spirit, believe me, when you get up from prayer, you will know.
Yeah.
When you're speaking by the Spirit. And then there's another thing about tongues. If you speak in tongues and your tongues are genuine to everybody who's hearing, if you speak in tongues enough, we start to see a difference in you. You know, for people who speak in tongues all the time and nothing ever changes about you and nothing ever, you don't grow spiritually, how do you speak this much in tongues and nothing, you never become any more spiritual? Your burdens aren't lifted. people who speak in tongues should be very, very happy people.
Yes.
Because tongues are for a rest for the weary. If the burdens are weighing you down when you get up from speaking in tongues, you're supposed to feel lifted. Your burdens are lifted. It's a refreshing. If you felt like you were going through, when I came here tonight, I was out here working all day long today and I'm getting kind of old, am old, and I was kind of tired. Just talking about it is refreshing me. Now I know when I get off of this, I get off this Zoom and settle down, it's going to catch up with me again. But at least for this, it's refreshing me. And my energy is restored. And, you know, this is another thing that Isaiah says about it. He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They should run and not be weary. They should walk and not faint. You have to be able to read the Word of God and allow all of the Word of God to come together so that you get a meaningful whole. And so when we're talking about speaking in tongues, I speak in tongues every day. Then why are you like you are?
You're right.
Because when I speak in tongues, I speak to God. And the Lord says to me, there's some, you know, and usually the Spirit comes back and He speaks very clearly to me. And He'll say things like, you know, there's something this about you and there's this. And sermons come and lessons come and teaching comes. And if it was a problem that was really bothering me, the Lord comes back, because the difference between the evil spirit identifying a problem and God is evil spirits identify problems and tell you there's no hope. God identifies a problem or a situation and He tells you how it's going to work out.
Yes.
He says to you, I'm going to work that out. You will be all right. He might not give me all the details and specify what's going to happen, but just knowing He's going to work it out. And this was one of the problems they had in Isaiah's time when they talked about the Christ coming and Him being wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and chastisement of our peace was upon Him, about His beard being plucked out, about Him being smitten. They just couldn't grab on to that as being the kind of sacrifice that they needed, as being what they needed to deliver them. But the people who were really deep in the Spirit could see that that was the deliverer. And Isaiah was saying to them, when I preach this to you and when I tell you about this, you're supposed to have rest. And when I tell you about this, you're supposed to be refreshed. He says, and since you won't have rest and be refreshed, and you keep saying, you just keep lying upon saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over. He says, and yes, I'm going to keep on preaching line upon line and precept upon precept. He says, because this is your rest and this is your refreshing. We're going to keep on doing this. Not going to change in that. Times may change. We use cell phones now. I'm speaking to you on Zoom, which didn't exist 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Those things change. The mediums change. My car is different than a chariot. I'm not riding a mule to church. I'm not bringing a sacrifice.
Praise God.
But the gospel has remained the same. Another place where we get off is when we talk about the things around us changing and the things we use. For example, we all have cell phones, and before we had cell phones, we had telephones, and believe it or not, there was a time when they didn't have those, and we all have electric lights, and there certainly was a time when they didn't have that. We'll have cars and so forth. So when we try to make it seem like we don't want to be modern, we want to be traditional for the gospel, then you need to live like the Amish.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
If you're gonna take that stand about it, then you need to live like the Amish. And the old Amish at that, because a lot of them have modernized to some degree. But I can have a cell phone, and I can have Zoom, and I can have a computer, and I can have a new car, if the Lord would ever bless me with one, and I can have electric lights and running water. I can have all that and still have the same gospel that was given in the garden. I can have all that and have the same Holy Ghost that was there that moved on the face of the water. It isn't an issue of being modern. It's an issue of not letting you, what's the word, modernity or modern?
Modernity.
It's an issue of not letting modernity overtake you. It's an issue of we're in this world, not out of this world. It's an issue of not letting the things of the world overtake you. Not letting the lust of the world. And the other point of it is it talks about the lust of the world that overtakes you, not the world itself. Your desire for it. What you want in it. Because you got to have money. It's your desire that makes you go off. You got to have a job. It's your desire that makes you go off. You need an education. It's how it affects you. You got to have it. And you got to be with people. I thank God for His goodness and His mercy tonight. You know, I pray that I was clear. And I'm praying tonight. I'm going to pray that the Lord will strengthen you with might by His Spirit in the inner man, as it says in Ephesians. And if you haven't been praying in tongues lately, I'm praying that if you haven't prayed in tongues lately, it's because probably you're not taking a lot of time in prayer, period. And the other one is, if you haven't prayed in tongues lately, assuming that we all speak in tongues, we have the Holy Ghost. If you haven't prayed in tongues lately, it's because you have allowed yourself to become routine. And instead of following the Spirit in prayer, you've learned how to pray, and you pray out of your soul on auto.
Yeah.
You already know what you're going to say when you get on your knees.
Yes.
You know what things you're going to say to God before you get on your knees. You know who you're going to pray for before you get on your knees. You come before God with no intent of God changing one thing about you.
Yeah.
Not even your mind, not even your desires or anything else. In other words, you're coming to God routinely. Because you know it's what to do, and you can say within yourself, I prayed today and I came today and so forth and so on. And it never crosses your mind that God might have had something for you because you didn't open yourself for that. You came knowing what to do. And so in Isaiah's time, the priest had got to a point where they knew how to go in. They knew how to come out.
Yeah.
They knew what to do. They had gotten to the point where they were running completely in and of themselves, and they had no need for the Spirit or for God. Otherwise, they would have heard the Spirit tell them so many times not to be among the Assyrians and not to go down into Babylon and not to be in Moab and watch out for Edom. They would have heard it just like the prophets heard it.
Yeah.
So Isaiah was telling them, he says, you know what's going to happen? God's going to get rid of all your crutches.
Yeah.
He's going to kick out all your crutches. He's going to get rid of Edom. He's going to get rid of Assyria. He's going to get rid of all your crutches.
Yeah.
So that He can do what He wants to do with you. And He says, and you might not listen to me, but there's going to come a time when the Spirit's going to be poured out on all flesh, and you won't be the ones who are prophesying to Him. He says, God's going to do it in a way that you find foolish. And God's going to do it in a way that you don't even understand. And God's going to go on about His business and carry out His will through His Son, and He's not going to worry about you.
Thank you. Yeah.
You can come along if you want to. Father, we come before You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. And Lord, we do glorify You. We glorify You in the heavens. We glorify You in the earth, O God. And Lord, we lift up our voices toward You. We lift our eyes toward Thee, Lord, our minds, our hearts. Lord, we commend it to You, our spirit. Father, even as we come tonight, Lord, we pray, Lord, You strengthen us with might by Your Spirit in the inner man. Come in, O God. By Your Spirit, come in, Jesus.
Yeah.
By the precious Holy Spirit, and dwell in our spirit, and give life to our spirit, and strengthen our spirit.
Yeah.
Speak in our spirit, O God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask You, O God. Lord, we beseech You in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray today, Lord, that all those that are weary, Lord, that the Word of God has refreshed and will refresh them. Lord, for all those, Lord, who need to be renewed and strengthened, that the Word of God and the Spirit of God, not just the written words and the letters on paper, but the words that are given by the Holy Spirit, when read and when preached with the Spirit, Lord, will refresh and be a refreshing and a renewing and a rest for the weary. And Lord, we pray, Lord, You'd increase our tongues. Lord, we would speak to You more. And Lord, give us and strengthen us in our spirit to pray more. Lord, give us a greater unction to pray and a greater desire to pray.
Yes.
And Lord, give us a mind that leads by the Spirit to not just say what we want to say to You, but to hear what You would say to us.
Yes.
Lord, lead us and guide us in prayer, Lord, both in our heavenly language, in our tongues, and in our understandable language, O God.
Yes.
Lord, give us words to speak unto You, and lead us and guide us in how to pray and who to pray for and what to pray, O God.
Yes.
And Lord, then give us a mind to listen and hear what the Spirit has to say back.
Yes.
Lord, when we ask You, Lord, Lord, give us a mind to hear the answer.
Yes.
Lord, lead us and guide us and guard our minds against lying and seducing spirits. Lord, when we lean and attend ourselves to the Holy Spirit, Lord, keep back every evil and unclean spirit that would enter in.
Yes.
And Lord, give us such a prayer life, Lord, that we would recognize immediately what is of the Spirit and what is not.
Yes.
And Lord, we pray, Lord, You move tonight, O God. And among all those that are sick in their bodies in any way, in any condition, remember Alyssa tonight, and remember India tonight, and all those that have conditions and things that go on, remember Minister Smith tonight and Sister Gamble tonight, and all those who have problems during the course of the month. And Lord, remember Elder Smith tonight, Lord, who's battling something that if it were not for you, Lord, would take her life. And Lord, remember Lord Elder Montgomery tonight, oh God. Lord, lift her up and bring her back to her full mind, Lord. Cause her to stand again in the pulpit and declare the word of God. Lord, remember Elder Tiangela Rogers tonight. Yeah. Lift her up, Lord, and bring her back into her calling, oh God. Yeah. Lord, let her stand before people once again and walk up and down the aisle and declare the good work of the good word of God by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, do so, Lord, with miracles, signs, and wonders, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us and promise.
Yes.
Bless me also, God, and all of us who would declare the word of God, and give us a word for the weary in season, oh God. Lord, give us the tongue of the learned, Lord, by the precious Holy Ghost. Lord, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, that we would come before the people, oh God, and say, what thus saith the Lord. And Lord, keep us from all things of the world, all that would enter in. Lord, keep us, as the old people would say, from all form and fashion. Lord, that we would do the will of God. Lord, let thy will, Lord, dwell in us. Thy will in us as it is in heaven, O God. Give us a mind to obey and a heart to obey and a heart to do it, O God. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor. We'll give you all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Lord, one more thing. Remember this. Remember Elder Russell's sister and her relatives down in Lafayette and in Lake City, Louisiana, in those places, O God. Lord, see them through, and Lord, even now, Lord, all the evil weather that does trouble us, oh God, Lord, keep us from the storm. Keep us in the storms, oh God.
Yes.
But Lord, you're our keeper. Lord, you're our peace. Lord, you're our all. Lord, you're our all
Lord
in
all.
All,
yes.
Oh, Father, you're our all in
you're
all.
You're our all in all.
We worship your name, and we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you.